Hi friends, welcome to another episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host Chantel, and tonight I have the one and only Sophie with me for part two of a mega special little something. It's Christmas everything right about now, which usually means the scary is far behind us. Or is it? Tonight we're caroling our way out of the shadows and checking our bags twice because it's imperative, guys. What in the Black Christmas are we talking about? Why, secondhand hauntings, of course. But before we do, what's better than a gold star on the chalkboard? Why, 5 stars, of course. Post your rating and review for your favorite shows anywhere you listen to your podcasts and make sure your faves get seen and know how much you love them. Do you have a real ghost story you'd like to share with the class? Email your story to themediamatters@gmail.com or send it via DM on one of the show's social media pages and I will personally reply to make arrangements for you to tell your story right here on The Media Matters. Are you more of a talker, not so much a writer? That's cool too. Call us and tell us all about it at 850-203-0118. This season, I'm super grateful for all of you and the time we spend together LOLing on the Insta Twitter sphere. If you love the lols as much as I do, come hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters and on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, where we can chill and chat and emoji all the live long day. And while you're scrolling around, make sure you post a screenshot of you listening to any Media Matters episode on your favorite podcast app. Tag me in your Insta, Twitter, Snapbook post, and I will shout you out like a boss. And don't forget to turn on your notifications and be the first to see new posts from me and the show. Want more ways to rid yourself of the FOMO? Email me at themediamatters@gmail.com, reach out on the show's site at themediamatters.com, call us at 850-203-0118, or take me shopping with you as you pick out your smudge kit, books, incense, crystals, whatever your little heart desires on the show's Amazon page. That's right, you guys. If you go to amazon.com/shop/mediamatters, you can do what I do, shop. Want exclusive goodies like bonus episodes, behind the scenes chats, pinky promises, and more? Join our super kick-ass, super exclusive family on Patreon and get immediate access to the fun. Check out the show at patreon.com/themediamatters and join us today and forever. Without further ado, let's get down with this week's Can't Resist Crystal, which is the one and only Amber Calcite. From Cassandra Eason's The Complete Crystal Handbook, this pale to golden honey or amber-colored crystal is thought to be good for helping to assist cell, skin, and tissue regeneration, diabetes and all blood fluctuations, fertility, digestion, the back, the spine, and so much more. Great for the solar plexus, amber calcite is the perfect centerpiece on the table at family parties and celebrations to 1, bring happiness to the gathering, while 2, really working to stop old rivalries right in their tracks. Hello, Thanksgiving. Isn't this perfect, guys? Just in time. For more on amber calcite, make sure you check out Cassandra Eason's The Complete Crystal Handbook or any resource that resonates with you. It is officially time to cover your mirrors, hide your dolls, douse yourself in holy water, and, well, pray for the best. Again. So, not saying it doesn't work, but it's not, like you said, it's not the catch-all.
It's not a catch-all.
It is not a catch-all. I personally like to start with sage and work my way up to see, like, you know, it's like a triage. I'm like, what is it that you need? Is it a Band-Aid? Is it a bigger Band-Aid? Does your wound need gauze? Like, what are we looking at? So you talked dolls, and I'm super happy that you did. You also talked mirrors. And if you guys remember, in season one, we did a 2-part series called Mirror, Mirror. And it was one of the funnest, like, you know, 2 episodes that we've done. We laughed so much. But those stories were real stories that we researched and got info on and all that good stuff. And we have also done one on haunted dolls. Mm-hmm. And both of those series received a lot of positive feedback, a lot of scared emails. And so sorry about that. But it is a thing. And there is a market out there for haunted artifacts, haunted mm-hmm. objects. And let's talk about the dolls, because dolls have always creeped me out. Not every mm-hmm. doll. If it is an actual baby doll, like, you know, not a porcelain, it's more like the lifelike looking ones that really give me creeps.
Yeah.
However, it's not, those are not the only ones that get it, because even like the baby dolls that look super innocent, when we did the haunted dolls episodes, there were plenty of those guys that mm-hmm. look, you know, they have like the little plastic everything and the plastic swirl and the plastic hair and mm-hmm. the, and I'm like, dang, you're so cute, but mega haunted. So what is it about a doll that makes it such a great candidate or a great spot for someone to take up residence or something to take up residence? And are they actually taking up residence or are they manipulating the doll?
Well, it's a couple things. So from my experience, which is not, you know, which is finite in all essences, but I believe the reason why dolls get haunted so much is because they look human. And a lot of times whatever's dropping into them is something that used to be in humanoid form or something that wants to experience the human experience. And they haven't been real successful in dropping into a real live body. So what's the next closest thing is dropping into a doll. Because in a doll, someone's going to pick you up. They're going to carry you around. They're going to talk to you. They're going to be your friend, you know, type of thing. And it's just really convenient. You don't have to get a job or nothing, you know, like you drop into a human right. body. But you're in a doll. And so you're getting all the kind of interaction that you're getting. You can have a conversation. And what's not more fun than being the buddy to a little kid?
Mm-hmm.
There's your little friend, right? And little kids, a lot of times, they're not going to judge you if you move around. They're going to think, oh, wow, super cool. I got a friend. You know, my invisible friend is now visible and can interact with me. Meanwhile, mom's screaming in the background. So, you know, I think that's why dolls typically get inhabited more often than not. And a lot of times, it's not necessarily an inhabitation. It's some manipulation. But most of the dolls that I've seen, they're usually hanging out inside the doll. Now, they may not stay there, but, you know, such as this little guy here, mm-hmm. he wakes up at night. You know, during the day, he's not doing anything. I mean, he's dead, just like this one. There's mm-hmm. you can tell a distinct difference between the dead doll and the living doll right mm-hmm. now. So I don't know if he's sleeping or if he's, like, going somewhere else, because when it's daylight, I let the light rush into this house. So he may be dropping out of the doll and just going into a shadow to hang out until it gets dark again. Because as it gets dark, he starts to wake up. You know, and every time I pass him, he's in a little bit of a different position, you know, coming back and forth. But we can definitely see he's inside because the eyes are dilating.
So what would be the motivation if what is inhabiting the doll can easily slip in and out and during the day, you know, it's just hanging in a shadow or something, what would be the motivation to then be in the doll if it's just sitting in a box? And really, like, here in the house, we'll just say mm-hmm. here in the house or at the shop, there's nothing going on. There aren't little kids coming to, like, touch it and pick it up and whatever. So what would motivate, in your opinion, for it to be inhabiting the doll when there's, like, nothing going on?
There's a good chance that his inhabitation of the doll is some connection, some history before she acquired the doll.
Mm-hmm.
So that essence may actually just be attached to the doll for mm-hmm. whatever reason. I don't know. The puppet maker may have done something to mm-hmm. have the doll inhabited, you know, to make it a little bit more lifelike.
Mm-hmm.
Doll makers can do that. You know, we don't know what's going on. Or it may be just, that's just a happy home. Who knows? And like I said, if the essence, which I think is a male essence inside of a girl doll, is happy being here, there's a very good chance that he is just sleeping. He's not necessarily out of the doll. He just may be sleeping and he just wakes up at night. That's when he functions.
Gotcha.
You know, so I don't know. I haven't, this is the first time I've actively engaged the doll, to be honest with you, because when I see objects like this, I'm just like, you know, you do your thing. I'm going to do my thing. We're cool. Mm-hmm. Just stay over there.
Yeah. If you don't mind. That is super interesting. So let's talk mirrors, because we've talked mirrors before in class. We've talked about mm-hmm. them in our Reiki shares. And as a whole, like, mirrors just, they give me the heebie-jeebies. They can really give me the heebie-jeebies. And right now there is one that's, like, kind of across from me that I've been checking out and watching, like, movement. And so I'm like, yeah, guys, I see you.
That mirror came from my house, by the way.
I'm like, I see you. So whatever you're picking up, I see you.
Yeah.
So what is it about mirrors that, I don't even know how to say it. Like, do they amplify activity? Do they, are they doorways? Are they like, what is it about a mirror that helps the energy or brings on energy or?
So, the mirror you're looking at is a mirror that I've had for, oh gosh, years and years and years. And when I got it, it was not haunted. And when I brought it to, I have some of my items here that I'm also going to send to auction and part of the estate sale. But since it's been sitting here, it has, it mirrors are portals, to be honest with you. And they're doorways to go in and out. Well, it is kind of haunted in a way because there's a lot of activity going on. So they're using it as a portal, jump in and out. And it's just the nature of a mirror. I believe that's the only mirror that's actually facing out. All the other mirrors I brought from mom's store or that are in this house, I have turned towards the wall or towards each other. Mm-hmm. They're not facing out. We do have one mirror that is at mom's shop that is, that was extremely haunted. But since I've moved so many things out of the shop, the hauntings have actually started to disperse out of that mirror. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the mirror is as haunted. I don't think the mirror came haunted. I think it became haunted as more and more essences joined the shop and they just used it. Hey, here's a doorway. I'm going to jump in and out. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know where they're jumping in and out of. I don't know that portion. I just know that mirrors and televisions too are portals where they, I guess they can leave and come back. Maybe bring their friends. I don't know enough experience with that yet. Mm-hmm. But in my house, I do have mirrors, but they're all covered. I only uncover them when I need to look at them to get it dressed. The mirror in the bathroom, I shut the door when I go to sleep. You know, it's not covered, but it also faces windows. So there's always sunlight hitting it and there's always moonlight hitting it. So I'm not worried about that mirror. Mm-hmm. The mirror in the other bathroom, it's doesn't serve as a portal because we just keep the door closed. And then the mirror in our bedroom is something that stays covered and is actually covered by cloth that was blessed by my lama when I was practicing Buddhism many years ago. So it is covered by blessed cloth. Mm-hmm. And in front of that, I have a Kwan Am in front of it. On top of that. And that's just extra precaution on my behalf. But the mirror that I have in my bedroom was purchased when I was a little girl, brand new. But still, mm-hmm. I keep it covered. And that's all the mirrors I have. I don't really see a need to have a bunch of mirrors in my house. That I'm not comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. Other people are fine with it. And there's no judgment there at all. Yeah. Just kind of, if things get weird.
Right.
Maybe cover up your mirrors or something.
Yeah, the only ones we have are the ones in the bathrooms, and that's it. I mean, the ones that I had in my old house are sitting in the garage. Oh, there's one in the studio, too, because that's where I do my hair and makeup, but that's it. So if you do have mirrors, which everyone has a mirror, at least one, or we think, I don't know. How do you protect that mirror from being a portal? How do you close that off? Say you can't cover it up. Is there anything else that you can do?
So there's things, yeah, that you can do. If you're in a position to be able to allow sunlight and moonlight to hit it, that's a great way to do it. You can put a religious figure of your choosing in front of it. It doesn't matter what you practice. You can put something in front of it. You can draw a protection symbol that is of your choosing on it.
Would you draw that on the back of it, on the actual mirror
itself?
On
the actual mirror, on the front mirror itself. My personal preference is that you just find a way to cover it. Mm-hmm. And during the day, it's not a big deal. It's not at all. It's at night when you're sleeping. I prefer to have zero mirrors in your sleeping quarters. So if you can just move it out of your sleeping quarters, that's actually the ideal thing to do.
Right.
You know, don't worry about the rest of the house because you're in your room, you're sleeping, you're fine. But if it is your new sleeping quarters, it is, I think it's really important to just cover it. You know, just use a cloth of some sort to just kind of cover it up. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. That's about it. You know, it's kind of simple in a way. And you may notice that you may sleep better. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not having as many restless sleeps or weird dreams or things of that nature. Give it a shot for a week. See what happens.
Mm. Yeah, mirrors just, they creep me out. They do.
They don't creep me out, but it does, they have a lot more power. There's a reason that mirrors are used for scrying and for seeing and beyond just seeing your reflection. They're actually a quite powerful tool. Same thing with reflective water. And like I said, same thing with TVs.
So TVs, I'm glad you brought that up, because so when I was gone for months, like working mm-hmm. out of state, came back, and my grandmother's TV was in my bedroom in mm-hmm. my old house, and never had a problem with this television. And suddenly it decides it wants to turn on whenever it feels like it. I changed the batteries in the remote. I looked it up to see if, you know, anyone else had these issues, and they did. And I did the troubleshooting, and mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I've done everything, and it was still doing this. And so I just unplugged it. I was like, we're done with this crap. So that TV has not been plugged in since. Like, I'm in a new house now. And so we've noticed for the last, I don't know, however many months, that our living room TV, which is a new TV, likes to do this. It likes to turn itself on. And the first time we noticed it was like 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. something, like some early as hell a.m.
The lovely witching hour.
Yeah. And I woke up because I heard talking, and I'm like, what the hell? What is going on? And I come out into the living room because I hear this. I mean, it is loud talking. Mm-hmm. And as I'm making my way to the living room, I'm like, what the heck? And I open the door, and I can't see the TV when I open the bedroom door, but I can see that the living room is lit up mm-hmm. and the TV is on. It is blaring on. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I go, like, I check everything out and I turn it off. And like, one of the dogs is asleep on the couch, and or she sleeps on the couch, and she's just like looking at me. I was like, dude, what is up? And the remote was nowhere near her. So it's not like she, you know, she sleeps. We have two couches in our living mm-hmm. room. She doesn't sleep on the couch that the remote is hanging out on. It hangs on the back of the of our couch. So it's not like she was laying on it or it got bumped or it was like between cushions. Nothing. So I'm like, OK, whatever. So I turned the volume all the way down, turned it off, went back to bed. And I was like, that was weird. And it just happens every now and then. I will come out in the morning. Mm-hmm. And the living room is a little lit up, especially, you know, early in the mm-hmm. morning when because I'm up at like 5:30. Mm-hmm. So the house is nice and dark. And I'm like, what the heck? Or I can hear like that really low hum. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, is the damn TV on? And sure enough, the TV is on.
Girl, you need to cleanse that place. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. More often than usual.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you might be carrying in people that you don't realize, and they're just having a party while you're yeah. sleeping.
So I have been, yeah, doing more cleaning up than yeah. I was. So I just, you know, with all the travel and stuff that I had been doing, just got out of practice with a lot of stuff mm-hmm. and have really been making my way back into it. Cause I'm like, yeah, no guys, mm-mm. Because I'm telling, like, energetically, that my energy has come back, like springing back. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what the heck is going on? And not that it ever went away, but you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's not that it went dormant or anything. It's like I was so busy with so many things that I wasn't paying attention. I just kind of went to like, I'll deal with you later. I'll deal mm-hmm. with you later. And now it's like in my face and full force. And so I am getting back into a lot of those practices. And clearing is one of them that I have been doing more of. Because I'm like, no. Because there's been a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff. But yeah. Yeah, so TVs, it's interesting you said that, because mm-hmm. I didn't know that. I knew the mirrors, and I knew, mm-hmm. you know, the dolls and the other objects. So that's interesting to know.
Yeah, and it's odd. The TVs of today, they're reminiscent of what a mirror looks like, but even the old TVs, especially the old TVs, mm-hmm. will react. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just because they have a very easy method of being turned on and using words and being a distraction. I have no clue. I don't have a scientific answer for that or mm-hmm. energetic answer for that. I just know it happens. Mm-hmm. And you see it in a lot of horror films. Well, there's a little bit of truth comes from some of those horror mm-hmm. films, fiction or not. So
that's incredible. Oh my gosh. Oh, okay. So you have an object in your house, or you brought something in, you noticed that the environment, the energy is changing and mm-hmm. things are not what they were. You can't get it outside into the garage or in the sun or whatever the case. You tried the sage, it's not working. What do you do if you feel like, you know, you've hit YouTube and Google and you're like doing all your research on your own, you're not quite sure what to do? What do you do then if you need big guns to clear something out?
Well, is it worth it?
The piece of furniture?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, no. But if someone feels like I really need to have this, because to me, I mean, it's not worth it. I would not have even gone to look at it. That's me.
However, well, I mean, that's what it comes down to. Right. You know, if you have so much disruption that's happening from that piece of furniture and you know for sure it's coming from that piece of furniture, you have to ask yourself, is it really worth it?
Right.
You know,
because there is a chance you may not be able to rid.
Absolutely.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the first thing you need to ask is it worth it? And if you've done all these things, it may just be that whatever's attached to it belongs to it, not to you. Move on. You right. know, it there's really no catch all to rid yourself of that item. I mean, if you feel like bringing in a priest of some sort might work, I don't think that it will. And I can think of a story that a friend of mine shared that happened to a friend of hers. They bought this huge, ornate, beautiful mirror from New Orleans from a woo-woo shop is what I'm going to call it. They spent five figures on this mirror.
Oh my God.
Okay. So I can get to a point where I can understand you just spent five figures on this antique mirror
right.
that you're not going to give up and just get rid of it. Well, they brought that mirror home and all sorts of activity was happening in the house, all sorts of activity. And they put it out in the sun. They saged it. They had priests from every single different religion coming and trying to bless that mirror with all sorts of type of holy water. Because they spent a lot of money on this mm-hmm. mirror and they decided, you know what? We're just going to live with it. And that's what they did. They're just going to live with it. They're fine with it. They've gotten used to it. I don't think that's a good idea personally because, mm-hmm. yeah, you spend a lot of money on it, but how is it starting to affect the family members, you know?
Right. And what exactly are you giving it permission to do if you,
exactly.
if you agree to live with it? Yeah. Are you essentially giving it permission to just kind of move Absolutely. In and
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. So my friend, nope. she asked me, she goes, what can they do? And I said, well, when is the activity? Is it mostly during the day or is it at night? And she said, well, and usually it's at night, you know, unless you've got it in a dark room, then it's going to be all the time. And she said, well, it's mostly at night. I said, well, the simplest thing you can do is just cover the mirror, cover it up. And she told him to do that. She said it really toned down. It shut things down. They're able to sleep now. The activity at night is just shut off. I said, well, just do it that way, you know. However, it's a gorgeous, they bought it so they can look at the mirror. So during the day, they take it off. And there's a little bit of activity, but it's not so unbearable where at night, it's a little more terrifying at night, but during the day, it's not mm-hmm. so bad. So something to keep in mind. You know, is it worth it?
No,
you know, it's not. And before you spend five figures on an object, you better make sure it's not haunted if you're not willing to live with it.
So how do you know?
It's impossible to know.
Right.
And I can tell you, this is directly from experience. So at mom's shop, she had a ton of these estate items. And I knew there were things running around, this, that, and the other. But to ask me which thing belonged to was
right.
attached
That's
to what
hard.
It was impossible. You know, I had no idea that the huge pictures you'll see on video were haunted. Mm-hmm. I had zero idea until we had that whole hallway emptied out. And suddenly I'm hearing, you know, voices and footsteps and things of that nature and put two and two together, which, by the way, oddly enough, it was making me nervous enough that I was like, you know what? Mom, has started creepily enough putting crosses and Marys and Jesus all over the store and all over the house. And I mean, I didn't know if it was some kind of OCD or something kicking in, but it was freaking me out a little bit. And I'm not anti-Christian. I'm not anti any type of religion, but that was a little bit heavy for me. So in the hallway, we had taken everything down, but I realized there were still two crosses across from each other in the hallway. And I was like, I wonder if this is going to work. So I moved the pictures under each cross. Everything shut up. I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. I can work.
Yeah.
You know.
And you're right. With that much stuff around, it's not, and it's not as easy as, like, you know, when I walked in today and mm-hmm. you said, hey, what are you picking up on these books? And I touched them. Mm-hmm. It's not that easy all the time because you don't know what is pinging off of what. What is it? The pictures are a perfect example.
Yeah.
We had to, by process of elimination, figure out what that woman was attached to.
Yeah.
Because we both had stacks and stacks of pictures in our cars.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, what is it that, you know, and it wasn't until we went through every picture one by one
mm-hmm.
until she told us what it was.
Yeah.
So they're not always that helpful.
No.
And, or that visible right away. I mean.
And if you're in an antique shop and there's activity going on, it's all over the place, mm-hmm. you know, so it's really. And so there may be someone else that has far more, you know, acute senses that they can figure it out. There's absolutely people like that, but I don't have that. You know, sometimes I can tell with one particular object, but when it's really crowded in there, and a lot of antique stores are super crowded, I wouldn't be able to tell you. The only thing you could possibly do is maybe ask the shop owner, hey, can I take this to a separate room that may not have as many items or any items in it, and kind of sit with it for a little bit and see if you can evaluate there. But it's just super hard. And I don't have, you know, you can try your pendulum, but your pendulum is also being surrounded by all those energies. Right. So you don't know if that pendulum is being affected one way or the other, to be honest.
Have you been in a shop that you have, where you've been able to sense that they actually do a pretty good job at protecting the space?
Most shops don't do that. And the reason being is because it's a public space. So you have customers that come in with stuff, you know, you have items that may be coming in with stuff, and it's just in and out. So you can try to protect the space as best you can, but there's no guarantee. You know, you don't know if it's coming in from that person. You don't know if it's coming in from an item. And you would be, unless you had a staff person that was their main focus, they would be busy all day long.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, girl. Because going into a metaphysical shop, I mean, I know mm-hmm. the good ones really do a good job of protecting their space. But walking in, it is.
It's busy in there.
It is super busy. There's so much between the crystals and all the. It is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. So as an example, not of like a metaphysical shop, but let's talk about the Warren's Occult Museum. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you know anything about this place, mm-mm. but and I don't know, I can't say for certain that it's on their property. I want to say that it is, but they have a room, a location that is full of items they have retrieved from investigations
mm-hmm.
or that people have given to them that have attachments. And this room, they call their occult museum. They have it blessed once a month or however regularly so that everything is contained. They have, you know, signs in there, do not touch anything, do not whatever. That's where they have the Annabelle doll that's in her case.
Mm-hmm.
So a place like that, is it enough to have something like that blessed once a month, which is what they were doing, is having it blessed on a regular schedule. Is it enough to do that? Is that a catch-all in your opinion? And is it also enough to believe that it is a catch-all and it is actually working? Because we talk a lot about intention and mm-hmm. using your words and your thoughts and all of these things. So is it enough to say, like, oh, I put my bubble of protection up, or, oh, the mm-hmm. priest is here to protect, so we're all good? Is that sufficient?
If they feel like it is and they haven't had any complaints, sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's... I've never had to do anything like that, so I can't say yay or nay. If they feel like it's working and no one has filed any complaints about, hey, something followed me home or freaked me right. out and everything. And they've taken all the precautions, like the signs. Don't, you know, touch is a big, big deal. And right. they've got the signs there as that extra precaution. I would like to think that they know what they're doing. And it may be they may have checked their ley lines as well. They may be in a very stronghold where the ley lines are supporting that protection that they've set around the boundaries of that property. Mm-hmm. So sure, that could absolutely work. You know, they know what they're doing. They've been in the business for a while.
Right.
I'm not going to doubt them.
And it seems like it did work mm-hmm. outside of the few people that decided to mess with Annabelle and, mm-hmm. you know, tap on her case and,
well, then, you know, that's
yeah,
yeah,
that's on them. Yeah, that's a whole different animal.
Yeah. And they had that sign there, and there's that sign's there for a reason. Then, you know, respect the signs.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's someone else's space. And with that doll in particular, I'm like, guys, come on.
Yeah.
Do better.
Yeah.
I feel like you know better. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my
gosh. And I'm hoping this doll finds the right home. You know, and everything, you know, I'm not your mommy. I'm sorry. But, you know, everything here, as I said, someone or something loves it deeply enough to be attached to it. So I'm hoping I can find all the right places for them to go. And not every object here has an attachment to it. The objects we talked about today were very obvious. They made themselves obvious for whatever reasons. And as I said before, the books were a new finding yesterday, totally new finding, because, you know, my project this weekend was to organize these books. A lot of the books are getting donated, and these are books that weren't secondhand. These are books that are a part of our family. They're fine. They're clear and everything. But the particular set of books I was talking about are a little bit more than your common books. They were written as magical books, which I'm completely surprised about, because this is on my dad's side of the family versus my mom's side. And there's a level of history there that I find absolutely fascinating. So I'm hoping I will be allowed to keep them, but we'll see what happens after tomorrow and everything. And really, who this creature is, this is what confuses me. I don't know if the creature is part of these books or if this creature is just attracted to these books. I won't know until I take them out of here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's incredible. So if you do have something, you know, you've run the gamut, you've done sage all the way to, you know, dance around it naked. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else, you know, you want to do to it to try to clear it. You let it get hit by the sun and the moonlight and the, you know, whatever happens. Mm-hmm. If you do want to get rid of something, what is a safe way to do that if you can't find someone that wants to take it? Outside of, like, you know, like the man walking into your mom's shop and saying, hey, guess what? I'll even pay you to take them. So if you don't have a place where you can do that,
pretty crazy,
right?
So
can you responsibly just be like, here you go, Goodwill, good luck? Or, you know, what do you do? Do you throw it away? Do you
last resort, put it on the side of the road, see who picks it up? 9 times out of 10, whoever's supposed to have it will come get it.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
9 times out of 10, whoever is supposed to have it will come get it. And if nobody comes and gets it and the trash people get it, maybe that's where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. You can donate it if you want to. You can take it to Waterfront or a Salvation Army. It's not going to hurt the shop. You mm-hmm. just put it in a shop, and then whoever is supposed to experience it next, whether they need to have it or not, will pick it up, take it home, and the cycle will continue.
Wow, you know, that's incredible.
You've done your part on what you thought for clearing and cleansing it, and mm-hmm. it didn't quite work out. That, you know, it's kind of like dating. Maybe that relationship just, you know, it just didn't work out.
You can have him, world.
We're going to break up, and I'm just going to put you on the side of the road, and hopefully some other chick will come get you.
Good luck, girl.
But yeah, that's really, you know, and it's not like you're sending a curse on somebody else or anything of that nature. It just means that relationship didn't work out.
So it's not an irresponsible thing to do.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think it is at all. And like I said, you don't feel comfortable sending it to a donation or anything like that. Again, just put it on the side of the road, say free. The right one will come get it. If not, the trash truck will.
Okay, so that is true for objects previously used that you've acquired. Mm-hmm. It's safe to do that. Can I ask, divination tools, does the same rule apply? And if you guys don't know what I mean by divination tools, I'm talking tarot cards, crystals, Ouija boards, runes. I mean, you name it.
Oh, girl.
So if you have acquired something like that, you know how to use them. Mm-hmm. Dang, where did this guy come from?
I don't know. Was that didn't come from you?
Was this in my thing?
It might have been your thing.
My crystals just like jumped out of my pocket, guys. So if you know their specific intention, their use, mm-hmm. and you're a collector of tarot cards or you're a collector of whatever, let's even throw in Ouija boards, like mm-hmm. all of these things that have a purpose, they are specific tools. Mm-hmm. Does the same thing apply?
Girl, I tell you what, if you buy a used Ouija board, you have got to be out your mind.
You heard it here first, guys.
I will admit to this, though. I almost asked you to bring a Ouija board tonight, and I thought, you know what? That might be a little much, so let's not do that.
Girl, you know what's crazy? I had a freaking feeling. I was like, if there is a Ouija board there, I swear to Lucifer, I'm leaving. Like, we're not getting down. No, first you would have to convince me to go buy one.
And you then, had one under your bed.
Yeah, like forever ago. And that guy burned. I burned him to the ground.
So guess what? With those kind of things, so with crystals and things of that nature, crystals are pretty easy to reset. So, you know, I've taught in classes on how to reset them. I'm not really worried about them. They're living beings in themselves, right. And they're usually not malevolent in any way. Things like runes, it depends on what they're made out of and how they were acquired. Were they handmade by the person? You know, are they made from bones, things of that nature? Where do those bones come from? 9 times out of 10, I won't buy used anything that's got bones on it. If it's like a brand, you know, a crow that may have died in your yard, the skull over time has bleached and, you know, purified itself out of the ground, you can use that. That's just fine. You know, that's fair. But if it's something that you're seeing at an antique shop, hey, here's a crow's head. Well, where'd that come from? Oh, no, no, mm-hmm. no. Mm-mm. No, that's just something you just want to pass by. Mm-hmm. If it's something you possess that you use, if you're giving it to somebody else as a gift, then that's a discussion you need to have with that person. And that person can accept it or reject it based on your discussion. If it's something that you're seeing in a garage sale that's there, I'd leave it alone because you don't know what it was used for mm-hmm. or anything of that nature. And if you pass away and you have no family members that want to take possession of it, the best thing to do is just bury it. So natural things like bones and sticks and things or rocks or things like that, you just bury it. It goes back to the earth. Just mm-hmm. give it back to the earth. Things like tarot cards and Ouija boards, burn. You just burn them. Yeah. I would not, unless you're using cards that were passed down generationally from your family, I wouldn't use someone else's cards. I just wouldn't. It doesn't feel right to me, mm-hmm. But I'm not every person here. So if you're okay with it and you're fine with it, then hey, more power to you. But mm-hmm. my personal opinion is I wouldn't use tarot cards. And when my, you know, if I know my end of life is coming or things of that nature, if I want to pass them down to my students, and that, again, that's a discussion. But if I don't, then there's instructions in my will to burn them. You know, they are attuned to me and my essence and mm-hmm. my information. In essence, in a way, if I hand them off to a stranger, they could pick up my energies off of that and read into them. Depends on that person, right? Mm-hmm. Anybody's picking up tarot cards, a lot of times they got some kind of ability to mm-hmm. kind of peek in there. Well, maybe I don't want my personal stuff shared right. to a stranger.
Right.
So just burn it.
Ooh, there you go, guys. And that'll be a separate episode. We'll do that too, guys. We'll do that too. But yeah, I've heard about, or I've been told and I've read, like, you don't burn it. I'm like, well, I did. So nothing bad happened.
There's nothing wrong with burning it. It's yours. You do what you want.
Yeah. See, I like that. I like that you said that, because there are all these, you know, there are so many rules out there, and it's, I think it's the same, like you say, it's with your intuition, like trust your gut, listen mm-hmm. to yourself and do what feels right. You know, don't hurt someone. That's not right. Even if it feels right in the moment,
mm-hmm.
release him, girls, release him, put him on the curb. But I'm so glad you said that, because I think you can really get caught up in, oh my gosh, what's the right way to do this? And what is the, and you end up holding on to something a lot longer than you should. And it is continuing to cause damage and mm-hmm. more damage. And you're sitting there panicked over what to do, when really, like you said, you just burn it to the ground.
Yeah. Do it. Let it go. Right. Yeah. You know, it, the one thing that I try to teach everybody is that the rules are, there's kind of no rules in a lot of ways. You know, you have to start to trust your intuition and your own wisdom, and what works for you may not work for somebody else. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all anybody can do for advice is say, well, this is what I do. See how you feel about it.
Right.
And if it works for you, great. If it doesn't work for you, at least you kind of tried to experience that option and figured out maybe another option that worked better.
Mm-hmm.
While trying out someone else's ideas.
Right.
Just do that. Yeah. You know, to say that there's rules, there's some guidelines,
right?
But there's nothing set in stone. There really isn't.
Amazing. Amazing. I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you said that. Cause I think we have the tendency to get so caught up in how mm-hmm. to do it the right way. And it's what's right to you.
Right.
And it is what's right to you.
And anytime you're just stepping into energy work, yeah, there are rules, because you have to develop a routine. You have to develop that muscle on how to recognize things that are happening around you. And you can't do that without rules, to be honest. And then, but as you mature and your muscle gets stronger, your etheric muscle gets stronger, and you begin to identify things, you begin to experience more, those rules start to become guidelines. And then once, you know, you get a little bit more advanced and you start to experience a little bit more, those guidelines just become a lot more flexible. You start to develop your own guidelines. You start to develop your own rules for your life, you know, that apply for you, but it may not apply to everybody else on the planet.
That makes sense. You heard it here first, second, and third. That makes perfect sense. Is there anything else you want to say about any of this energy as it relates to dealing with antique items or so weird? There's still so much noise, and it's calmed down a lot though.
Yeah, it's calmed down
a whole lot.
They're really interested in what's going on. They're just mm-hmm. kind of hanging out now,
like, what are you guys
doing?
They were so
excited about you being here.
Yeah, I'm a big deal, guys. I'm a big deal. I have a podcast. You didn't know.
Feel free to speak in.
Yeah, we're kind of a big deal. So is there anything else that you want to talk about in terms of protecting your space, protecting yourself, cleansing these guys, the do's and don'ts, any other tips, tricks?
Basically, you know, just listen to the podcast and form your own opinions. You know, that's really what's important. Mm-hmm. I can only share what my experience is. And from that, form your own opinions. If you've got something going on in your house, give a shot of what we've mentioned. And if it doesn't work, you know, do a shout out and mm-hmm. maybe we can help out in some way.
Yeah.
I do want to say thank you to all the essences that are around here.
Thanks, guys.
You know, you guys have been so good. Lights just went out in the other room. It's okay. Calm down.
No, I saw that. I was like, what was that?
Yeah, it was the lights. They just went out. Okay. So, you know, I appreciate everybody, you know, not just Chantel, but everybody here just kind of being a part of the show. And, you know, I kind of wish you guys could see a little bit more that was going on. And I don't know how much would show up on the camera, but, you know, it's kind of cool. And this is a safe space to do it in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would I have done this in someone else's house without me having domain? Oh, but hell no.
Right. And that's why I said I wouldn't do this with anyone else but you, because I feel totally safe with you. And this is your space.
Yeah, this is my space. Right. There's a huge difference between me doing something and something that I own, that right. I've got dominion over, versus someone asking me, hey, can you do this at my house? No. I'm not interested in doing something like that.
Right.
But I do want to emphasize that your domain is yours. You know, pay attention to that. You have the power there. But if you invite things in, you're kind of inviting potentially a little bit of a problem. So pay attention to what you're doing, mm-hmm. you know.
Agreed. No, I couldn't agree more. And I say all the time, do not dabble. Do not. There is a very responsible way to learn things. Mm-hmm. It's not by dabbling by yourself, YouTubing some stuff or Googling and giving it a go. Like, please be very safe, because you can open doorways to things that you know nothing about, and things can present one way when they're really something else. And it's not to freak you out, but it kind of is to freak you out, because their energy is powerful. It is super powerful, and mm-hmm. the good and the bad. And, you know, maybe it is how you perceive it to be, good yeah. or bad. I don't know, but please just be very careful and be responsible. And if there is something that you're interested in learning and you don't know how to go about it, reach out to us and let us know. And maybe we can help guide you in the right direction. A lot of different people have reached out to me and asked if I might be able to help them find a place close to them where they could go learn and get a Reiki session or whatever. I'm happy to try. I mean, it doesn't mean I'll be successful every time, but I'm happy to help you research. And I don't know everyone across the United States or around the world.
And every teacher is different.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of teachers that don't touch on what we mm-hmm. talk about. They're strictly, you know, hands-on healing, and right. they follow the strict, national standard of Reiki, which, I tell you, I absolutely do not. Mine's more of a mediumship geared course. Mm-hmm. I include some hands-on healing, you know, mm-hmm. quite a bit to help read the body, which makes it easier on people to learn, but we're on a totally different learning mm-hmm.
very different
curriculum.
And I understand why you don't like to call it Reiki, or
I call it just energy hearing.
Right.
Healing.
You've moved yeah. away from that. And I totally get it. And for a long time I've called it Reiki, because I'm like, that's kind of how it was presented initially, or mm-hmm. what we initially started with. And even in that first class, it grew very quickly
yeah.
into something else. And so I say that, and really, you know, I probably need to transition to and just say energy yeah. healing and energy work, because it is definitely not just Reiki, and it's really not even a lot of Reiki.
It's not
very minimal Reiki yeah. that goes on.
Yeah. We start with the rules mm-hmm. and then we get some guidelines. And then by the third, I was like, do what you want.
Yeah.
Do what you want. Just be careful.
But there's a reason for that. Yes. You're not just saying like, okay, you're off on your own. You really are saying like, it's time for you to figure some stuff out on yeah, your own that yeah. I can't. It's kind of like when your parent is like, oh, don't hang out with so-and-so because, mm-hmm. you know, you are who you hang out with. And you're like, whatever. But that's how you learn. You kind of have to learn the hard way sometimes. And I think it's good. It's helped me grow a lot. And I think I've said in a few episodes, we, like Lily, Marie, and I, and I'll focus on us because I know the two of them very mm-hmm. well. But we all have kind of gone through the same phases of life in the last 2 years and have been pulled in kind of the same directions. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it has been pulled away energetically. Like mm-hmm. we've been pulled career-wise and, you know, in other areas. But we've all kind of been drawn back around the same time. And mm-hmm. it's been so weird because we haven't talked about it. And it's not until we're together and we're like, what, you two? That's crazy. It is definitely an energetic shift, and it's part of this growing process and maturing mm-hmm. process that we've been going through. And I think when we did it's been a little over a year now since we did our level 3. Mm-hmm. And so next year or the year after, whenever you feel like we're ready, we'll do our level 4. And I can't wait. And honestly, like if you had 17 levels, I would take them all. Like I love everything that we do, and it's all helped me so much, right. all of it. And
right.
I mean, there's stuff that I think about sometimes and I'm like, oh my gosh, like level 1, level 2, and even level 3, it meant something so different when I learned it or when you said it.
Mm-hmm.
and I received it one way, and now it's like this veil has been lifted, and I'm like, no doubt it means this. It's actually not like what I thought it was initially. So mm-hmm. I can't give an example right now because I can't even think of one, but I know it has happened so many times. Mm-hmm. So the energy work overall, and I know that's not the topic of this episode, guys, but it kind of is. It's energy. But the energy itself, like energy work, is so incredible. And it's incredible when you have the right people and the right person to do it with.
Right. Right.
So I feel super blessed that you take the responsibility aspect so serious. And that is like rules 1 through 50 for you is yeah. you have to be responsible and you do not mess around in class. Like we joke and we laugh and all that good stuff. We cut up and we eat our body weight and very healthy snacks. But being irresponsible is never, ever okay. And I so appreciate that. I really do. And I love that it's not a dabble and it's not a let's try this out. It's very hard and fast rules, and it's always about making sure that you're protected, the people you're working with are protected. Mm-hmm. And so that definitely comes into play here. Please be very safe. There are, you know, I'm finding more and more as I spend time on social media, people that have haunted things and they're totally comfortable with it and they put them on display online and whatever, and that's cool. And I just, my immediate first thought is, oh my God, are you being safe? Because it is all fun and games until someone is haunted. So
just depends on the individual. You know, some yeah. people are fine with it. They don't mm-hmm. have an issue. You know, it's in, we've talked about it in class and yeah. some of the items that I have. And yeah. that's another episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't think of anything I have that's like that I question. I'm like, because if I do question it, it's out.
Yeah,
it's gone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have no time for this.
Yeah.
And you clearly have better things to do than stare at me all day. So. But I'm super excited we got to do this. I hope that you guys learned some things. And if you have any questions, which I'm sure you're going to have a ton, because, you know, in the heat of recording an episode like this, we don't have any notes in front of us. We are going off the cuff. We are just talking about things organically. And I'm sure we have missed a bunch of stuff. And we've also incorporated things that we had no intention on talking about. Yeah. So if you have questions, make sure you reach out to us and let us know. We would be happy to answer them. And you'll likely reach out to me because you have all of my contact info. But if there's something I can't answer, I will definitely go to Sophie and she knows it because I ask her 1 million questions all the time. And we will make sure we get an answer back to you guys. But, you know, remember, please be very responsible. If you feel like something is off, even as you're roaming in an antique shop or at a yard sale, estate sale, garage sale, whatever, go the other way and just go fast if it's not resonating with you. And if you get something into your home or your space and things aren't feeling right, quickly run through the list of what you brought in recently, what has recently been gifted to you, whatever it is, and start addressing it and start from the basics and work your way up. And if need be, get rid of it. You know, Sophie said, ask yourself, is it worth it? To me, it is not, but I'm not you. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what it comes down to, mm-hmm. right?
Because it could be a family heirloom and it's super priceless yeah. and whatever the, but no, I'd be like, listen, so-and-so, I super love you and I wish yeah. you were here, but I got to get rid of this thing that you left me in your will. Like, we just don't buy.
Yeah, because especially if they got it second or third hand, you yeah. never know. But yeah, the ultimate question is it worth it?
Yeah.
Are you okay with that? You know,
I'm so glad you said that, because I honestly never would have thought to give that as advice. I know, right. I'd be like, get rid of it, like burn it to the ground.
But everybody's bit. Different. Yeah. Everybody's absolutely different. You know,
it's true. Yeah. Some people are super curious and want to, you know, I don't know. That's just not me.
Yeah.
It's not me. So
yeah, me neither. That's why these yeah. dolls are staying here.
Mm-hmm. So if you guys are,
I'm not looking, taking the pictures home either.
No, girl.
Mm-mm. But the books. Yeah.
Yeah.
The books might be worth yeah. it. We'll the see what happens.
Like, I think so. I'm excited. So if you guys have questions, make sure you reach out. And Sophie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me for
another couple of episodes, because that's what we got here. I'm super excited. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Friends, that's a wrap on this lovely series with our favoritest Sophie of all time. We hope you enjoyed this creepy content as much as we did. Thank you again for joining us for another Can't Miss episode and tuning in week after week.
We love and appreciate you guys so, so much. Don't forget to hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters and on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, where I show you even more love. Make sure you turn on those notifications and be sure to tag me in your Media Matters post for a special shout out. Want to shop with me? Find my store at amazon.com/shop/Media Matters and do what I do, shop. Feeling spooky? Send your real life ghost stories to themediamatters@gmail.com via DM on one of the show's social media pages, or leave your ghost story on the show's voicemail at 850-203-0118. Want the VIP treatment all the live long day? Join our kick-ass Patreon family and be part of the fun. Find us at patreon.com/themediamatters and join us today. Are you liking the show? Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review this and other podcasts you're loving. Your ratings and reviews really do help support the show and make it easier for others to find all of your faves. Want a reading from our kick-ass friend Shay? DM Shay on the old Instagram at The Ornery Oracle, mention this specific episode, and receive $10 off your very own tarot reading from our very own Oracle. You can't go wrong. With that, you guys, we are donezo for the night, but we're back next week with an all-new episode of The Media Matters. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, may your days be supernatural and extraordinary. Good night, you guys.